welcome to the Saving Castles podcast, the sanctuary for castle devotees and medieval history enthusiasts. Prepare to embark on a thrilling voyage through time as we unveil enthralling history and legend. From ancient folklore to cutting-edge restoration, we've got it all covered. So grab your headphones and let's dive right in.
Welcome, fellow castle enthusiasts and history lovers, to Flames of Fury, the true story of Joan of Arc's battle for France. In this episode, we delve into the epic saga of a young peasant girl whose divine visions and indomitable spirit shaped the destiny of a nation and altered the course of history. In the heart of the Hundred Years' War, a conflict that tore apart the very fabric of medieval Europe, a beacon of hope emerged from the most unlikely of places. Amidst the chaos of a divided France struggling under the yoke of English occupation and internal strife, Joan of Arc, a mere teenager from the small village of Domremy, rose with a mission that seemed impossible. Her story begins in a France ravaged by war, famine, and political turmoil. The English crown, asserting its claim over the French throne, had conquered vast swaths of French territory. The French were demoralized, their lands pillaged, and their people suffering. In these dark times, a prophecy whispered among the common folk spoke of a virgin who would rise from the borders of Lorraine to save France. And in this setting, Joan's extraordinary tale unfolds. Born to a peasant family, Joan's early life was humble yet steeped in the devoutness and simplicity of rural life. Her days were marked by the rhythms of farming and the piety of her community. However, her destiny was to be far from ordinary. At a young age, Joan experienced visions of saints and divine messages, compelling her to undertake a monumental task. To drive out the English and bring Charles VII, the disinherited Dauphin of France, to Reims for his coronation. Imagine the audacity of such a claim from a young, illiterate peasant girl in a deeply patriarchal and feudal society. Yet, Joan's conviction was unshakable. Driven by her unyielding faith and belief in her divine mission, she embarked on a perilous journey to Chinon, the court of Charles VII. The roads were fraught with danger, bandits and English allies, yet Joan's determination never wavered. Upon reaching Chinon, her quest faced its first major hurdle, convincing the skeptical court and the Dauphin himself of her divine purpose. Her meeting with Charles VII remains shrouded in mystery and legend. It's said that she identified the Dauphin, disguised among his courtiers, with divine guidance. Her words and presence, imbued with an inexplicable authority, swayed the initially incredulous Charles and his advisers. From there, Joan's journey took her to the besieged city of Orléans, a pivotal moment in the war. The English had the city under a tight siege, and its fall seemed inevitable. Joan's arrival was a turning point. Her energy, her unwavering faith, and her rallying cries breathed new life into the beleaguered French forces. Under her guidance, the tide of the siege turned, and the English were driven back in what would be remembered as a miraculous victory. But Joan's story is not just a tale of military triumphs. It's a saga woven with the threads of faith, courage, and the human spirit's resilience against insurmountable odds. A journey from a simple village girl to a commander leading armies to victory captivated not just her contemporaries, but generations to come. Her life, her trials, and her fiery end at the stake in Rouen at the tender age of 19 have etched her into the annals of history as a symbol of bravery, faith, and the fight for justice. As we embark on this narrative journey, exploring each facet of Joan's life and legacy, we invite you to immerse yourself in the world of medieval France. Picture the towering castles, the clashing of swords, the fervent prayers in shadowed chapels, and the fiery spirit of a young girl who dared to challenge the might of empires and change the course of history. Join us in unraveling the layers of myth and truth, in understanding the enduring allure of Joan's story. In the lush, verdant valleys of northeastern France, amidst the rustic charm of the village of Domremy, a story began to unfold, a tale that would kindle a fire across a war-torn nation. This is the story of Joan of Arc, a young girl whose destiny was entwined with the fate of France during the darkest days of the Hundred Years' War. Born around 1412 to Jacques d'Arc and Isabelle Romée, Joan's early life was shaped by the rhythms of rural existence and the deep currents of faith that ran through her community. The world outside her village was in turmoil. France, a land once proud and powerful, was now fractured and bleeding, its northern territories under English control. A crown of France was contested, with the English claiming it for their own and the French Dauphin, Charles VII, struggling to assert his rightful claim. Against this backdrop of conflict and despair, Joan grew up in a world where the divine and the mundane intertwined. Her life in Domremy was simple yet profound, marked by the labors of the field and the rituals of the church. She was known to be pious, spending hours in prayer, her heart and mind steeped in the stories of saints and martyrs. Then, in her 13th year, something extraordinary occurred. Joan began to experience visions. These were not the idle daydreams of a village maiden, but vivid, powerful encounters with St. Michael, St. Catherine, and St. Margaret. These heavenly messengers bore a daunting command. Joan was to be the savior of France, the instrument through which the English would be expelled and the Dauphin crowned king. Imagine the weight of such a destiny upon the shoulders of a young peasant girl. Yet Joan embraced her mission with a fervor that belied her years. Her faith was unwavering, her purpose clear. But to fulfill this divine mandate, she would have to step beyond the bounds of her simple life into the turbulent arena of war and politics. Joan's first step on this perilous journey was to convince the local garrison commander at Vaucouleurs of her divine mission. Robert de Baudricourt, skeptical at first, was eventually swayed by her persistence and conviction. Dressed in men's attire for her safety, Joan embarked on a grueling journey across enemy territory to Chinon, where the Dauphin held court. The journey was fraught with danger. The roads were infested with bandits and English sympathizers. Yet Joan, guided by her unwavering faith and protected by a small band of loyal followers, persevered. She traversed the war-torn landscape of France, a land scarred by conflict and despair, a poignant symbol of hope amidst the chaos. Upon reaching Chinon, Joan faced her greatest challenge yet. The court of Charles VII was a cauldron of intrigue and skepticism. How could a peasant girl, claiming divine inspiration, be taken seriously in such a place? Yet Joan's presence was magnetic, her conviction unshakable. In a private audience with Dauphin, she revealed knowledge that she could not have known by natural means, convincing him of her divine mission. The significance of this moment cannot be overstated. Joan, a young girl with no military or political experience, had won the confidence of a prince and a court. She had stepped into the annals of history, not just as a visionary, but as a leader who would guide France through one of its darkest hours. Thus began Joan's transformation from a village maiden into a warrior, a leader, and a symbol of national unity and hope. Her journey would be arduous, her trials many, but her resolve would ignite a flame that would burn brightly in the annals of history. We have set the stage for her remarkable journey as we delve deeper into her story. In the annals of history, few journeys have been as fraught with peril and promise as that of Joan of Arc, a maiden propelled by divine visions on a quest to alter the destiny of a nation. This segment of our narrative transports us to the critical chapters of Joan's crusade, where unwavering conviction begins to reshape the fate of France. The journey to Chinon, the stronghold of Charles, was a treacherous one. The roads were a labyrinth of dangers, teeming with English soldiers and Burgundian allies. Yet Joan, clad in male attire for protection, embarked on this hazardous path with a determination that belied her tender age. Imagine the scene as Joan arrived at Chinon. The imposing castle, a bastion of the Dauphin's waning power, stood as a silent witness to the desperation and disarray within. The French court was a shadow of its former glory, rife with uncertainty and intrigue. The Dauphin Charles, disinherited and disheartened, was a king in all but name, his authority undermined by internal divisions and the looming English threat. Into this cauldron of despair stepped Joan, a peasant girl, claiming divine guidance, seeking an audience with the future king. The skepticism was palpable. How could this uneducated provincial maiden sway the course of a nation's destiny? Yet there was something about Joan, a presence that could not be easily dismissed. Her faith, her conviction, her unyielding belief in her heavenly mission exuded an aura of undeniable authenticity. The private audience with Charles remains one of the most enigmatic episodes in Joan's story. Legend has it that Joan, guided by her saints, identified the Dauphin among his courtiers, despite his attempts to conceal his identity. Her words during this encounter remained shrouded in mystery, but their impact was profound. Joan spoke of visions and prophecies, of a divine mandate to lift the siege of Orléans and lead Charles to Reims for his coronation. Her words resonated with the beleaguered prince, desperate for a sign of hope, a catalyst for change. The decision to entrust Joan with the military role was unprecedented. Yet, in a bold move, Charles granted her a small army. Joan's transition from a visionary to a military leader was a leap of faith, not just for her, but for the entire French command. She donned armor and rode alongside seasoned soldiers, an emblem of divine intervention in a struggle that had seemed all but lost. As Joan prepared to march to Orléans, the atmosphere in the French camp transformed. Here was a girl, barely out of her teens, armed with nothing but her faith and a banner, instilling a sense of purpose and hope in battle-weary men. Her presence was a rallying cry, a call to arms that transcended the mundane strategies of warfare. Joan embodied a spiritual fervor, a conviction that the French cause was righteous, ordained by heaven itself. The march to Orléans was not just a military maneuver, it was a pilgrimage, a journey imbued with a sense of destiny. As Joan and her army traversed the French countryside, word of her mission spread. Peasants and nobles alike were drawn to her cause, stirred by the tale of a maiden chosen by God to save France. Her journey became a symbol of resistance, a beacon of hope in a landscape marred by defeat and disillusionment. Joan's arrival at Orléans marked the beginning of a new chapter in the Hundred Years' War. The city, besieged and on the brink of surrender, found new vigor with her arrival. Joan's very presence revitalized the demoralized inhabitants and soldiers. She was more than a military leader. She was a symbol of national resurgence, a personification of the French spirit, long subdued, now rekindled with fiery determination. We have traced Joan's transformation from a visionary to a leader embarking on a sacred crusade. As we continue our journey through her remarkable life, we witness the unfolding of a saga that is as much a testament to the power of faith and conviction as it is a chronicle of the resilience of the human spirit in the face of unprecedented odds. In the history of medieval warfare, few events hold the dramatic intensity and historical significance of the Siege of Orléans. It was here, within the besieged walls of this pivotal city, that Joan of Arc's legend truly began to crystallize, transforming the tide of the Hundred Years' War and altering the fate of France. Orléans, a city of strategic importance and a symbol of French resilience, lay under the shadow of an English siege. The English, determined to solidify their hold over northern France, had encircled the city, their presence a suffocating cloak of oppression. The siege, now several months old, had drained the city's resources and morale. Food was scarce, hope was diminishing, and the spectre of defeat loomed large. Enter Joan of Arc, the Maid of Orléans, a title that would forever echo through history. Her arrival in April 1429 was nothing short of miraculous to the beleaguered inhabitants. Escorted by a French army, she entered as a beacon of hope, a living embodiment of divine intervention. The people of Orléans, weary and despondent, saw in her a saviour sent from heaven, a symbol of the possibility of victory against overwhelming odds. Joan's impact on the city was immediate and profound. Her presence revitalized the French forces, infusing them with renewed vigor and purpose. She brought not just strategic guidance, but a spiritual uplift that transcended the mere mechanics of warfare. Joan's conviction that she was divinely appointed to lift the siege galvanized the troops and the populace alike, transforming despair into determination. Under her leadership, the dynamics of the siege began to shift. Joan advocated for aggressive tactics, urging the French to take the fight to the English. Her strategy was a departure from the cautious approach that had hitherto characterized the French command. With Joan at the forefront, the French launched a series of daring assaults on the English fortifications. Each skirmish and battle that Joan led was infused with her unyielding spirit. She wielded her banner more than her sword, a symbolic presence in the heat of battle, inspiring her troops with her courage and unshakable faith. The English, who had viewed the siege as a mere stepping stone to conquering France, found themselves contending with an adversary unlike any they had faced before. A young woman, driven by a prophetic mission, commanding an army with a newfound zeal. The turning point came with a bold attack on the English fortifications at Tourelles, the key to lifting the siege. Joan, despite being wounded, was undeterred. Her resolve in the face of injury only bolstered the morale of her troops, who saw in her suffering a shared burden, a unifying call to arms. The French forces, spurred by Joan's indomitable will, surged forward, breaking through the English defences in a decisive, hard-fought victory. The lifting of the siege was a momentous event. It was not just a military triumph. It was a symbolic victory that reverberated throughout France. The Siege of Orléans would come to be seen as the turning point of the Hundred Years' War, the moment when the tide began to turn in favour of the French. Joan of Arc, once a mere peasant girl, had become the harbinger of this historic shift. In the wake of the siege, Joan's fame spread far and wide. She became a figure of legend, her name a rallying cry for the French cause. Her remarkable leadership at Orléans had not only lifted the physical siege of the city, but had also broken the psychological shackles of defeatism that had plagued the French. She had rekindled the flames of national pride and identity, setting the stage for further victories and the eventual coronation of Charles VII. We have explored the pivotal role Joan of Arc played in the Siege of Orléans, a chapter in her life that stands as a testament to her extraordinary leadership and the transformative power of faith and conviction. As we continue our journey through her remarkable life, we delve deeper into the legacy of a woman whose spirit and courage reshaped the course of history. Following the miraculous lifting of the siege of Orléans, Joan of Arc's journey took a decisive turn, propelling her towards an even grander destiny. The aftermath of Orléans was a time of rejuvenation for the French. Joan's victory had altered the psychological landscape of the war. From the ashes of despair, a flame of hope had been kindled, and Joan was its undying source. The Maid of Orléans, as she was now known, had become more than a military leader. She was a symbol of divine providence, a beacon guiding France to its long-awaited salvation. Joan, with an unshakable conviction in her divine mission, set her sights on an audacious goal, the coronation of Charles in Reims Cathedral. Reims, the traditional site for the consecration of French kings, lay deep in enemy territory. The journey there was not just a physical traversal across the war-torn landscape of France, but a symbolic march towards legitimacy and restoration for Charles. The path to Reims was marked by a series of swift strategic victories that underscored Joan's military acumen and the renewed vigour of the French forces. Each battle, from the victory at Jargeau to the triumphant engagements at Meung, Sour, Loire, and Beaugency, was a testament to the changing tide of the war. The English, who had once seemed invincible, were now on the retreat, their grip on French territory loosening with each passing day. Imagine the scene as Joan and her army approached Reims. The journey had been a spectacle of faith and resolve, a procession that gathered momentum, both militarily and symbolically, as it neared its destination. Towns and cities, once subdued under English control, now opened their gates to Joan, hailing her as a liberator, a messenger of God sent to rescue France from its plight. The coronation of Charles VII in Reims Cathedral on July 17, 1429, was a moment of triumph and transformation. The hallowed halls of the cathedral, which had witnessed the anointing of kings for centuries, now bore witness to a ceremony that was as much a political statement as it was a religious rite. Charles, standing before the altar, was not merely a prince reclaiming his throne. He was a symbol of a nation reborn, his legitimacy sanctified not just by the church, but by the seemingly miraculous endeavours of a young peasant girl. Joan, standing beside Charles during the coronation, clad in her armor, her banner, a symbol of her divine mission, held aloft, was the embodiment of the nation's renewed spirit. Her role in this historic event was more than that of a military leader. She was a unifier, a vessel of divine will, whose very presence lent a sacred aura to the proceeding. The coronation of Charles marked a turning point in the Hundred Years' War. It was a blow to the English claim to the French throne and a rallying point for the French. The once fragmented and demoralized nation found a new sense of purpose and identity, galvanized by the achievements of a maiden who had defied every convention of her time. We have journeyed with Joan and the French army along the path to Reims, a journey that stands as a remarkable chapter in Joan's story and in the history of France. It was a journey that not only led to the crowning of a king, but also to the ascendance of a national icon, a young woman whose faith, courage, and determination reshaped the destiny of a nation. As we continue to explore the life and legacy of Joan of Arc, we are reminded of the profound impact one individual can have on the course of history, an impact that resonates through the ages, inspiring generations with its message of faith, courage, and unwavering conviction. After the crowning of Charles at Reims, a new chapter in Joan of Arc's extraordinary journey began. It is a tale of a warrior's resolve, tested by the crucible of conflict and the complexities of human ambition. With the Dauphin now rightfully crowned, Joan's focus shifted to the liberation of France from English control. Her victories had not just altered the course of the war, they had rekindled a national spirit. Yet the path ahead was fraught with challenges. The English, though reeling from their losses, were far from defeated, and internal factions within the French court vied for power and influence, often at the expense of the national cause. Joan, undeterred by court politics, continued her military campaigns with an unwavering determination. Her next target was Paris, the jewel in the crown of France still under English control. The bid to reclaim Paris was a bold move, a statement of intent that Joan was not content with mere symbolic victories. She sought nothing less than the total liberation of her homeland. The assault on Paris was a testament to Joan's tactical acumen and her ability to inspire those around her. Leading from the front, she rallied the troops, instilling in them a sense of purpose and an unshakable belief in their cause. The Battle for Paris, however, was a different beast compared to the previous skirmishes. The city's defences were formidable, and the English were prepared for a siege. As the battle raged, Joan's resolve was put to the test. The French forces faced stiff resistance, and the cost of the campaign began to mount. In a fateful moment, Joan was wounded, an arrow piercing her thigh. Yet, even in the face of excruciating pain, her spirit remained unbroken. Her injury, rather than diminishing her resolve, seemed to amplify it. Her presence on the battlefield, a rallying cry for her troops. Despite Joan's valiant efforts, the assault on Paris ultimately failed. The setback was a blow to Joan's campaign, but more significantly, it exposed the fractures within the French leadership. Charles, cautious and politically astute, was hesitant to fully commit to Joan's aggressive strategy. The king's ambivalence, coupled with the intrigues of the court, began to erode the unity that Joan had fought so hard to create. In the wake of the Paris campaign, Joan's role began to shift. No longer the unchallenged commander of the French forces, she found herself navigating a landscape of shifting alliances and wavering support. Yet her commitment to her mission never wavered. She continued to participate in military operations, her presence a symbol of the ongoing struggle for French independence. Joan's subsequent campaigns, though lacking the spectacular victories of Orléans and Reims, were nonetheless crucial in maintaining the momentum against the English. Each skirmish, each confrontation, was a step towards the ultimate goal of a free and unified France. Through these campaigns, Joan solidified her reputation as a fearless warrior and a leader of unwavering conviction. However, the challenges Joan faced were not just on the battlefield. The internal politics of the French court, the skepticism of some of the nobility, and the ever-present threat of betrayal cast a shadow over her endeavors. Joan navigated this treacherous terrain with the same courage and determination that she displayed in combat, but the intrigues of courtly politics were a different kind of battlefield, one where the clarity of martial conflict was muddled by human ambition and duplicity. We have explored Joan of Arc's continued military campaigns and the challenges she faced following the coronation of Charles VII. Her story during this period is a compelling blend of martial prowess and personal fortitude, set against the backdrop of a nation struggling to reclaim its identity and sovereignty. The tale of Joan of Arc reaches a pivotal and poignant chapter with her capture and subsequent trial. We will look into the darkest hours of Joan's journey, revealing how her unbreakable spirit faced the ultimate test under the shadow of betrayal and the weight of political machinations. The year was 1430, and the landscape of France was still marred by the scars of ongoing conflict. Joan, ever the embodiment of resolve, continued her military campaigns. However, the tide of fortune was turning. In a fateful skirmish near Compiègne, a city loyal to Charles VII and besieged by Burgundian forces, Joan's destiny took a grim turn. Amidst the chaos of battle, in a moment laden with foreboding, Joanne was captured by the Burgundians, allies of the English. Imagine the scene of her capture. The clash of steel, the cries of warriors, and amidst it all, Joan, fighting valiantly, is ensnared by enemy hands. The news of her capture sent shockwaves through France. To the French, Joan was more than a military leader. She was a symbol of hope, a beacon of divine favor. To the English and their allies, her capture was a significant victory, a chance to extinguish the flame she had ignited across France. Joan's imprisonment marked the beginning of a harrowing ordeal that would test her strength and faith like never before. The Burgundians, recognizing her value, held her for ransom, a common practice in the chivalric warfare of the era. Astonishingly, Charles, the king Joan had fought so tirelessly to crown, made no significant effort to secure her release. This inaction remains one of the most controversial aspects of Joan's story, a stark reminder of the ephemeral nature of political loyalty. After months of captivity, Joan was handed over to the English, who were intent on destroying her reputation and, by extension, undermining the legitimacy of Charles's coronation, which they deemed a farce orchestrated by a heretic. Thus began the trial of Joan of Arc, not merely a judicial proceeding, but a carefully orchestrated spectacle aimed at discrediting her, and by extension, the cause she championed. The trial, held in Rouen, was a travesty of justice, a confluence of religious dogma and political expediency. The court was stacked with pro-English clergy, men who saw Joan not as a divinely inspired warrior, but as a threat to the established order. The charges against her were numerous, ranging from heresy and witchcraft to cross-dressing, a transgression against the church's strictures. Throughout her trial, Joan faced her accusers with a courage and composure that belied her years. She was isolated, threatened, and subjected to intense interrogation, yet her faith remained unshaken. Her responses, often astute and imbued with a simple yet profound wisdom, frustrated her inquisitors, who expected a peasant girl to be easily outwitted. The trial was as much a battle of wits as it was a legal proceeding. Joan's inquisitors sought to trap her with complex theological questions, hoping to force a confession or a statement of guilt. But Joan, guided by her unwavering faith and a keen sense of her destiny, navigated these treacherous waters with an aplomb that frustrated her captors. Despite the irregularities of the trial and the evident bias of the court, the outcome was a foregone conclusion. Joan was found guilty of heresy. The sentence was severe and final: death by burning at the stake. The execution, set for May 30, 1431, was to be a public spectacle, a grim demonstration of the consequences of defying the established order. The day of her execution, Joan was led to the stake in the old marketplace of Rouen. The scene was macabre, a tragic tableau of human cruelty and fanaticism. As the flames rose around her, Joan's final moments were a testament to the strength of her character and the depth of her faith. Her last words, a fervent invocation of the saints and a poignant expression of her devotion to God, echoed in the hushed air, a haunting reminder of the human capacity for both greatness and inhumanity. We have traced the harrowing end of Joan of Arc's earthly journey from her capture to her trial and execution. Her story during this period is a complex tapestry of bravery, betrayal, and the relentless pursuit of political ends. Yet, amidst the darkness of her final days, Joan's spirit shone with an undiminished light, a beacon that would continue to illuminate the pages of history long after the flames that consumed her had turned to ashes. The tragic end of Joan of Arc's life, marked by her execution at the stake, is a chapter steeped in pathos, yet resplendent with the undying embers of her indomitable spirit. May 30, 1431, dawned with a somber air over Rouen. The old marketplace, a place that had witnessed the ebb and flow of daily life, was transformed into a somber stage for a spectacle of cruelty and injustice. Dear Joan of Arc, the Maid of Orléans, once the beacon of French hope, was to meet her fate. As Joan was led to the stake, the crowd that gathered was a microcosm of the era's turmoil and conflict. Some wept, moved by the sight of a young life about to be extinguished. Others jeered, their hearts hardened by war and propaganda. Yet amid this cacophony of emotion, Joan remained a figure of serene dignity, her faith unshaken even in the face of death. The execution was a grim affair, a confluence of political machination and religious zealotry. As the flames rose, consuming the wood piled around her, Joan's final moments were an embodiment of her extraordinary character. Witnesses reported that her last words were a fervent invocation of the saints and a resounding affirmation of her faith. Her gaze, it was said, was fixed heavenward, a poignant symbol of her unyielding belief in her divine mission, even in the throes of agony. Joan's execution was intended to extinguish her influence, to render her a cautionary tale of defiance against the established order. Yet, in a profound irony, Her death achieved the opposite. The flames that consumed Joan's body ignited a fire in the hearts of the French people, a blaze of nationalist fervor and a renewed determination to resist their oppressors. The immediate aftermath of Joan's death was a complex tapestry of grief, outrage, and introspection. The English and their allies may have hoped her death would demoralize the French, but Joan's martyrdom became a rallying point, a symbol of resistance against foreign domination and the corruption of power. Her life, her achievements, and her tragic end were woven into the narrative of French identity, a saga of struggle and triumph against overwhelming odds. In the years following Joan's execution, her legend grew, transcending the boundaries of history and entering the realm of myth. Tales of her bravery, her faith, and her unyielding commitment to her cause spread far and wide, inspiring poets, artists, and writers. Joan of Arc, the Maid of Orléans, became an icon, a personification of the ideals of courage, sacrifice, and patriotism. Yet, Joan's story was not consigned to the annals of history. As a mere footnote, in a remarkable turn of events, her name was cleared, her reputation restored. A posthumous retrial, initiated by Charles VII and the Inquisition in 1456, 25 years after her death, nullified the verdict of her original trial. The retrial, which included extensive testimonies from those who had known Joan, concluded that her trial and execution were unjust, marred by procedural irregularities and political bias. This vindication was more than a legal reversal. It was a symbolic restoration of Joan's honor and a recognition of her rightful place in the pantheon of French heroes. The Maid of Orléans, once condemned as a heretic, was now celebrated as a martyr, a saintly figure who had laid down her life for her country and her faith. In the centuries that followed, Joan's legacy continued to evolve, her story resonating with new generations. She was canonized by the Catholic Church in 1920. An official recognition of her sainthood and her life and legacy continue to be the subject of scholarly study, artistic interpretation, and popular fascination. We have explored the flames of Joan of Arc's martyrdom, a defining moment that concluded her earthly journey but marked the beginning of her eternal legacy. Her story continues to inspire and captivate, a testament to the enduring power of the human spirit in the face of adversity. The story of Joan of Arc, a tale that traverses the realms of history, mythology, and legend, culminates in a legacy that endures far beyond her mortal life. In the aftermath of her martyrdom and subsequent vindication, Joan's story began to permeate the fabric of French national identity. She became a symbol of French resilience and patriotism, a beacon of hope and defiance against oppression. Her life and legacy were embraced as a rallying cry, a source of inspiration in times of turmoil and strife. Joan's canonization in 1920 by Pope Benedict XV marked a significant milestone in her posthumous journey. It was an acknowledgement of her sanctity, her enduring spiritual significance, and the miraculous nature of her achievements. Joan of Arc, once vilified and executed as a heretic, was now revered as a saint, a transformation that speaks volumes about her enduring impact and the evolving perceptions of her life and mission. The cultural legacy of Joan of Arc is as vast as it is profound. She has been immortalized in countless works of art, literature, and music, each interpretation a reflection of the era in which it was created and a testament to her timeless appeal. From the plays of Shakespeare and Schiller to the paintings of Ingres and Bastien Lepage, from the compositions of Tchaikovsky and Verdi to the films of Dreyer and Besson, Joan has been depicted in myriad ways, each portrayal offering a unique lens through which to view her extraordinary story. In literature, Joan's life has been the subject of numerous works, each exploring different facets of her character and journey. She has been portrayed as a national hero, a religious martyr, a symbol of female empowerment and a tragic figure caught in the machinations of power. These narratives, while diverse in their perspectives, all underscore the complexity and richness of her story. The artistic depictions of Joan are equally varied and impactful. Each painting, sculpture, and fresco capturing her likeness offers a window into the era's cultural and social values and the enduring fascination with her character. Joan's influence extends beyond the realms of art and literature. She has become an integral part of French national consciousness. Her image and story have been invoked in times of national crisis, serving as a symbol of unity and resistance. During World War I and II, Joan's legacy was evoked to rally the French people. Her story, a reminder of the resilience and courage required to overcome adversity. Furthermore, Joan's legacy has been instrumental in discussions and representations of female leadership and empowerment. Her life challenges traditional narratives of gender roles, particularly in the context of the Middle Ages. As a young woman leading men into battle and making her mark in the predominantly male domains of politics and war, Joan stands as an early and powerful example of breaking gender barriers. In the realm of popular culture, Joan's story continues to captivate and inspire. She is a figure featured in films, television shows, books, and even video games, each adaptation introducing her story to new audiences and ensuring her legacy endures in the modern imagination. The enduring fascination with Joan of Arc lies not just in the events of her life, but in what she represents. The power of faith, the courage to challenge the status quo, and the indomitable spirit of resistance against overwhelming odds. Her story is a tapestry woven from threads of history, myth, and legend, a narrative that transcends time and continues to resonate with each new generation. In the shadow of Joan of Arc's more widely celebrated achievements lies a lesser-known yet significant aspect of her legacy, her influence on the development of French military architecture, particularly fortifications. The Hundred Years' War, a period marked by prolonged conflict and territorial strife, was a crucible for military innovation. The war saw the evolution of fortification techniques in response to the changing dynamics of siege warfare. In this milieu, Joan of Arc emerged not only as a charismatic leader, but also as a catalyst for a shift in military strategies, including the design and defense of castles and fortified towns. Joan's military campaigns were characterized by her use of aggressive tactics and decisive action, a departure from the more cautious approaches of her contemporaries. Her success in lifting the siege of Orléans and her subsequent victories demonstrated the effectiveness of proactive defense and the importance of fortifications in protecting key strategic locations. The siege of Orléans, in particular, showcased the critical role of fortifications. The city's defenses, a network of walls, towers, and moats, played a crucial role in withstanding the English siege. Joan's arrival brought a renewed vigor to the defense of these fortifications, inspiring both the soldiers and the citizenry to actively participate in the city's defense. Under her guidance, the French undertook bold sorties against the English, a tactic that turned the tide of the siege. Following the liberation of Orléans, Joan's influence extended to other key cities and towns across France. Her victories underscored the importance of well-fortified strongholds as pillars of resistance against invading forces. Towns and castles along Joan's path to Reims, witnessing her successes, were inspired to strengthen their defenses, constructing new walls, towers, and ditches to repel potential attackers. Joan's impact on fortification strategy also involved the adaptation to emerging technologies, particularly artillery. The advent of gunpowder and cannons changed the face of siege warfare, making traditional castle designs vulnerable. Joan's campaigns coincided with this shift, and her experiences influenced the French approach to fortification, emphasizing thicker walls, lower profiles, and angled bastions to better withstand cannon fire. Moreover, Joan's legacy in the realm of fortifications is also evident in the way she galvanized the population in defense of their towns and cities. Her ability to inspire and mobilize the populace was crucial in the rapid construction and reinforcement of defenses, turning urban centers into bastions of resistance. This aspect of her influence speaks to her exceptional leadership and the deep connection she forged with the people she sought to liberate. In the years following Joan's death, the principles that had emerged during her campaigns continued to influence French military architecture. The lessons learned from the sieges and battles in which she participated were integrated into the design of new fortifications and the upgrading of existing ones. Castles and fortified towns that had once symbolized feudal power were transformed into modern bastions capable of withstanding the evolving threats of warfare. Joan's influence on French fortifications is a reflection of her broader impact on the course of the Hundred Years' War and the shaping of French national identity. Her campaigns were not only about achieving immediate military objectives, but also about laying the groundwork for a resilient and fortified France, capable of defending its sovereignty and its people. Joan's story, in this context, is not only one of martial prowess and spiritual conviction, but also of enduring impact on the art and science of war. As we draw the curtain on the epic saga of Joan of Arc, we arrive at a contemplation of her enduring influence, a flame that never dies, flickering through the annals of history and into the heart of contemporary consciousness. The legacy of Joan of Arc, centuries removed from the smoky battlefields of medieval France, remains as potent and relevant as ever. In a world vastly different from the one she knew, her story continues to resonate, a story that transcends time and culture. In the modern era, Joan's life has been reinterpreted through various lenses, historical, feminist, spiritual, and literary. Each perspective offers a unique insight into her character and the impact of her legacy. Historians view Joan as a pivotal figure in the Hundred Years' War, a catalyst for the eventual French victory and a key player in the shaping of French national identity. Feminists hail her as an icon of female empowerment, a woman who shattered the conventions of her time to lead men into battle and assert her place in a male-dominated society. Spiritually, Joan's story is one of unwavering faith and divine inspiration, a narrative that inspires believers and non-believers alike. Her conviction in the face of overwhelming odds, her courage in the face of mortal danger, and her steadfastness in the face of betrayal and abandonment speak to a spiritual journey of profound depth and resilience. In literature and the arts, Joan's saga has been a source of endless fascination. Writers, playwrights, filmmakers, and artists have found in her story a rich tapestry of themes and motifs, heroism, tragedy, mysticism, and rebellion. From Mark Twain's personal recollections of Joan of Arc to George Bernard Shaw's St. Joan, from Carl Theodor Dreyer's The Passion of Joan of Arc to Luc Besson's The Messenger, the story of Joan of Arc, each work explores different dimensions of her life and legacy, capturing the imagination of audiences across generations. Joan's story is also a study in the dynamics of power, politics, and propaganda. Her life and death highlight the complexities of statecraft and the machinations of political and religious institutions. In a world where these themes remain as relevant as ever, Joan's story serves as a cautionary tale about the abuse of power and the manipulation of narratives for political ends. In the realm of popular culture, Joan continues to be a figure of fascination and inspiration. Each portrayal, whether it adheres to historical accuracy or takes creative liberties, contributes to the ongoing dialogue about her life and its significance. As we reflect on the life and legacy of Joan of Arc, we are reminded of the enduring power of story and myth. Joan's journey, with its blend of historical fact and legend, continues to inspire, challenge, and captivate. Her story, a flame that never dies, burns as a symbol of hope, courage, and the enduring spirit of humanity. In closing, Joan of Arc's legacy is not confined to the pages of history books or the walls of museums. It lives on in the hearts and minds of those who find inspiration in her story, a timeless narrative that continues to speak to the struggles, dreams, and aspirations of each new generation. As our journey through the life and legacy of Joan of Arc concludes, we find ourselves standing at the crossroads of history and legend, where the echoes of a distant past meet the enduring challenges of the present. This conclusion aims not only to encapsulate the extraordinary saga of the Maid of Orléans, but also to reflect upon the timeless resonance of her story, a narrative that continues to inspire and captivate hearts and minds across the world. Joan of Arc, a figure who emerged from the humblest of beginnings in a small village in medieval France, rose to become a pivotal figure in the tumultuous history of the Hundred Years' War. Joan stands as a symbol of national unity and pride for France, her life and legacy inextricably linked to the formation of French national identity. Joan's story is a reminder of the impact one individual can have on the course of history, a testament to the power of conviction and the potential for extraordinary feats in the face of overwhelming odds. Beyond the confines of French history, Joan's legacy has reverberated through the centuries, touching diverse fields and disciplines. In the realm of spirituality and religion, her life is a study in faith and mysticism, her visions and divine inspiration challenging our understanding of the spiritual experience. Canonized as a saint, her story is a beacon for those who seek to reconcile the complexities of faith with the trials of the human condition. In the sphere of social and cultural discourse, Joan of Arc stands as a pioneering figure in the narrative of female empowerment. Her defiance of societal norms continue to inspire conversations about women's rights, leadership, and equality. Joan's story encourages us to question and redefine the boundaries of possibility, to imagine a world where gender does not dictate one's destiny. Moreover, Joan's tale is a poignant reminder of the interplay between politics, power, and justice. Her trial and execution, marked by political intrigue and judicial irregularity, highlight the dangers of unchecked power and the manipulation of legal and religious systems for political ends. In an age where issues of justice, fairness, and the abuse of power remain at the forefront of global discourse, Joan's story resonates as a cautionary tale, urging vigilance and integrity in the face of institutional corruption and moral compromise. Joan's story is continuously reimagined and rediscovered, ensuring her legacy remains vibrant and relevant for each new generation. As we reflect upon the life and legacy of Joan of Arc, we are confronted with a narrative that is both profoundly inspiring and deeply tragic. The flame of Joan of Arc's legacy, far from being extinguished by the passage of time, burns ever brighter. Her life, a singular blend of history and myth, continues to resonate across the ages, a timeless testament to the extraordinary potential that lies within each of us to shape our destiny and leave an indelible mark upon the world. Thank you for joining us on this enchanting journey through medieval history. While our weekly episodes will continue to captivate your imagination, there's an exclusive treasure trove for subscribers, a secret vault of bonus episodes filled with extra tales and deep dives into the subjects we cover. Your curiosity fuels our mission, and we're truly thankful for your support. Until we meet again among stone walls and towering turrets, keep that torch of curiosity burning bright. Thank you for listening.